on the line now. I have Brendan Teeling, who is Deputy City Librarian. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Hello, John. Should I be good to be on your FM.
Yeah, I should be saying welcome back to you, because you were you were hugely involved at Near FM.
Yeah, I was involved at the very beginning, and even in the pre-licensing days.
Yeah.
So I was always delighted to hear from Near FM.
Okay, well, you're a deputy city librarian now, so it's a big change from what you were doing with Near FM, and it's very interesting here. The upcoming Dublin Festival of History is coming up.
Yeah, so the Festival of History, Dublin City Council Festival, we started it. I think we're in our ninth year this year. It started back in 2013. I think I have my maths correct. So it's a free festival, and really we just put together ourselves in Dublin City Libraries, our friends in the Dublin City Council Culture Company, have put together this festival along with various partner organisations to bring history events in normal times to venues all over the city. But obviously this time around, many of the events will just be online. But really, we're trying to bring history to people, and every event is free, and we have a wide range of topics and themes. So we think there'll be something for most people to take an interest in this year. One of the things this year, which we haven't done for many years, is we're having a dedicated children's program, and a lot of that is based around the work of historian in residence for children, Dave LaRoche, who's based out in Richmond Barracks. We might talk about historians in residence again shortly, but we have a special program for children that includes things like children's history workshops, making maps of your own local area. We have a session on illustrating history with a chap called John Farrelly, who writes the Deadly Irish History books. And we have a big history quiz for children, which will test people's knowledge of history, which I think will be great fun. So, lots there for children, which is an innovation for us this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned the map-making workshop there for children. That's happening out there, and Donnymead is just up the road from us here.
Exactly. Yeah, we try to bring events around the community as best we can, and so there should be something in every area of the city, and certainly yes on the north side. Yeah.
Yeah, and all events are free, as you said. There is booking necessary.
Yeah, I mean booking is required for I think nearly all the events, and yes, they are all free. But obviously, if they're in person events. Then definitely, there are limits on the number of people that can attend because of COVID, and the size of the venue. But also, some of the online events are limited capacity as well. So yeah, booking is needed. But it's all very simple. We have a dedicated website, DublinFestivalOfHistory.ie, and people can just go on there, have a look at the events, and book the event that they want. Some of the, John, I should say that we normally have this is maybe familiar, that every year we have what we call a big weekend in Dublin Castle, when we usually bring in historians from abroad and also from around Ireland to talk about. Now, at the moment, they are planned to be in person, but obviously we'll have to play it up a year.
Yeah.
But if people book for that, if they find that the event they want is booked out, we'd encourage them to add their name to the waiting list, because if the COVID restrictions are lifted, we'll be able to then contact them and tell them that they have a ticket. So don't be put off with the fact that you're told that something's booked out. Just go on the waiting list. And sure, fingers crossed, we'll be able to have more people in Dublin Castle than we're currently planning for.
And do you get great reaction to these festivals that I mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, John, I have a personal interest in it. I started festivals back in 2013, and we have found it really popular with people. We had 16,000 people attend events last year, and they were all online, of course, last year.
Yeah.
So it's a huge festival, and we're really pleased with how people get involved. We have people who look forward to it every year. We have people contacting us every year and saying, when is it on? So they can have it in their diary. So it's really popular. And I think one of the reasons, John, is that we try to address a wide range of topics. So, for example, we have in one of our libraries in Ballymun, actually, we have, we have a session on the fight for the capital, that's the Civil War in Dublin in 1922-24, which is a fairly local thing. You know, it's about our own city,
yeah.
And I think that sort of thing people find really, really fascinating. But we also have a talk on Frederick Douglass, who is people may be familiar with him as an anti-slavery leader. Came over to Ireland in the 1840s, 1845, and had a big impact here. But Daniel O'Connell had a huge impact on him. So we have a talk on him. So we go from the very local to the international, including with sessions on Second World War, as I said, on the War of Independence, the Civil War, Edward Carson. We have a dedicated seminar, to us by the Friends of Medieval Dublin. And that actually, for people who think that, oh, that sounds a bit, you know, Friends of Medieval, so it doesn't sound like my thing, it's actually a fascinating seminar because they have archaeologists talking about the latest things that they're finding when they're working in the city. So, you know, as you're walking down the street there and you see a hoarding, you know, for a building, in many cases there are archaeologists working behind that hoarding. And the things they turn up, literally turn up, are fascinating. So even things people should have a look at them. Don't be put off if you think that that's not for me, because it may well be.
Yes, and it's great to see that you're getting children involved, because children have been through a bit of a hard time with this whole COVID situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult, I think, you know, as we know, for everybody. And, a lot of children haven't had the sort of summer that we'd like to give them. Certainly in the libraries, we've been restricted in the services we can provide. So we're doing our best. We did have, your listeners, I hope, saw that we had outdoor events in Coolock, and we also had some up in Ballymun, and they were great to do, but obviously the numbers we could have were limited. But look, we're doing our best. We hope to, you know, as we move forward now into the autumn, we'll be able to reopen again.
Yeah, and you the Dublin City Libraries, you coped very well during COVID. I interviewed, I think it could have been Ballymun, somebody in Ballymun Library, and we spoke about a delivery service you were supplying.
That's right, yeah, John. Thanks for that. Yes, as soon as libraries were closed, a very short notice. Literally, you know, we had a day's notice. And we had to scramble, to be honest, to put together a service while we were closed. But we have a great team, and they pulled together and come up with some great initiatives. And one of them was the home delivery service, and we're continuing to do that. So if there are people out there who, and we can't deliver books to everybody's home, obviously,
yeah,
but
yeah.
If there are people out there, older people maybe, or just people who find it difficult to get to the library, they just get in touch, and we can arrange to have the books. It's with the Dublin Volunteers Centre. We can arrange to get books to you, and we pick them up from here and bring them back. So it's great service, and we're quite happy to continue to provide that service to people. So
No, that was a great initiative, and libraries have changed over the decades, I'll say, because back in my day, you just go in and you'd borrow a book, but there's just lots going on in libraries now.
Yeah, well, we books are still really, really important to the public library service, and I think always will be, and we still pay a lot of attention to the book service, and that's why when we were closed, we put a lot more money and resources into the ebook service that we have, BorrowBox, which, if any of your listeners are not aware of, is basically a free version of Kindle, really. And we have thousands and thousands of books on that, children's and adults, and they're all free. And we also have a great comics collection and lots of other digital stuff that you can do online from anywhere. But yeah, in the branch itself, and you know, you're very fortunate, obviously, in Coolah, nearby.
Yeah, we are you still there?
Library. It's really wonderful, the Coolock Library.
It is. It's fantastic.
And we have a makerspace there, which is one of the new things that maybe you were talking about, where people will be able to get involved and, you know, explore 3D printing, laser cutting, all that sort of stuff. But also, I have to say, it's a makerspace, so it's also for people who are making things in a more traditional way, you know, craft. Even knitting, sewing, that sort of thing. So we weren't able to really exploit that because of COVID. But yeah, that's another thing we'll be looking to really get moving on once we get into the post-COVID situation. And another one, John, if you don't mind me saying so, is we were ready to roll out a whole load of gaming consoles in our libraries, and we had to halt that because of COVID. But again, we're ready to do that. So once we reopen, gaming consoles and games will be available in our local libraries, and I think that will reach another cohort of people maybe who think that the library is not for them. So yeah, really exciting times ahead.
So the library is not open at the moment, Brendan?
Well, it's a two-tier system at the moment, John. The larger libraries like Coolock, Raheny, Dunamead, Ballymun, they're operating what we call a browse and borrow. So people can call into the library, they can browse the shelves, they can borrow a book, leave their books back, etc. But they can't use the PCs, and they can't sit down, relax, and read the newspaper, you know, which is something that people like to do. And our smaller branches, so that would be, the likes of Charvamal and Ringsend Merino, they're offering what we call a call and collect service. So you can't go into the library, but you can order your books online or by cell phone. Go and pick them up. But we're hoping to move all our branches to browse and borrow. So good news for people who use maybe Marine or Finsbury or Charlemagne, that we'll be back to browse and borrow on the 6th of September. So they'll be able to go into the library there, browse the shelves, and borrow their books. But in terms of reopening fully, the way we used to be, that's out of our hands. That's really up to central government. And like lots of sectors, we're waiting to see what the plans are for the further reopening of society now over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and it'll be a very welcome return when the libraries get back to normal. And I just kind of want to head back to our wonderful library up here in the north side, and they have a lovely, fantastic children's library there, children's area. And I love seeing children picking up a book and reading, and luckily enough, some of my grandchildren do exactly that, and are members of the library.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about making books available to children. I mean, one of the key factors, research has shown, lots of research has shown that the key thing in children developing good reading skills, good literacy, which of course is important for all parts of life, not just for reading for pleasure or for school, for that matter. But the key factor is the availability of books. It's that they have books around them, whether that be in the home or whether that be in the school or whether that be in the public library. And I suppose what we like to think is that we offer all of these books for free and a nice atmosphere to read them in and to sit in for a while and encourage children to read. And that's what we're aiming to do in Coolock with our beautiful children's library there. And so I would encourage people who maybe haven't been in the library for a while, or whose children aren't that interested, to bring them along and see what's there. And because really, children get really excited when they see what we have to offer in the libraries. And the other thing we do have in Coolock, again, which is unique at the moment, at least for Dublin City Libraries, is a sensory room, which is there for the use of children who are on, and adults indeed, who are on the autistic spectrum or who maybe have other sensory issues. And that's there in Coolock. And again, once we reopen fully, that would be available to people. And it's just another way that we're trying to provide as wide a range of services as possible for as wide a range of people as possible.
Okay, Brendan, listen, thanks very much for taking my call. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'll just say remind people that the Dublin Festival of History website is dublinfestivalofhistory.ie, and obviously we're on various social media, you know, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and that. And also keep an eye on what's happening in your local library. We have a free newsletter you can sign up to at dublincitylibraries.ie, and it's not an annoying newsletter, it's an informative one. And people also can keep track of what's happening in their local branch on Facebook and Instagram and that. So, yeah, so look, John, appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I hope your listeners will get involved with the Festival of History and find something of interest. So I'll just give you one quick one, John.
Yeah, yeah.
30th of September, we have a local history tour through Clontarf, Cleister and Raheny. It's Raheny Library and the Raheny Heritage Society organising that, and that's a walk. So we can have more people at it, and it would be of interest, I'm sure, to a lot of people listening to your FM.
It
so
would,
check it out on the website.
Yeah, it sounds great, and it's DublinFestivalOfHistory.ie.
Yeah,
and
is
this happening now in September?
Yeah, it kicks off on the 24th, I think, of September. I should know.
The 20th.
It kicks off.
Yeah.
The 20th, John. You're right. It kicks off the 20th of September and finishes on the 10th of October.
Okay, so maybe we'll send out a reminder, getting nearer to date again, if you'd be willing to talk to us again.
Sure, of course, yeah, I'd be delighted to.
Okay, Brendan, listen, once again, thank you very much for taking the call.
Thank you, John, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.